Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
2021 is just about gone. It's never to be repeated. Whatever you liked about it, whatever you didn't like about it, it's just about over. 2022 is on our doorstep. Ready or not, here it comes. Ready or not, we're going there. Is it just me, or did a new year used to be a bit more of an exciting thing? Did it used to kind of feel like a blank slate and a fresh start and this moment of endless opportunities? But the way the world has been, right, in the last couple of years, now we sort of enter the new year bracing ourselves. It's like, hold on tight. You know, we dare not plan too much, right? We dare not book flights, hello? We dare not dream too far ahead because who knows what might happen. And today I want to preach to you just briefly on the thought, the what and the who. Turn to your neighbor and say, the what and the who. The what and the who. I'm not talking about the British rock band. Have we got any The Who fans? None. Good. Great. Because I'm not preaching about them. I want to speak to you about the what of your new year and the who of your new year. The what and the who. A lot of people sit on the cusp of a new year and they project forward. Do we not? Do we not do that? We think about the future. And so many of our thoughts or our musings around this time of year center around asking this question, what? What? Most of our New Year's resolutions are based on what? What will we do differently? What will we change? What will we improve for the better? And if you're anything like me, you make a resolution, you're good for 7 days, and then you start sliding back into old bad habits. Do I have any other confessors in the room? I have this theory that all around the globe, in the first week of January, more minutes of exercise get done than any other week in the calendar year. You know what I'm saying? Because everyone's on this health kick. Everyone's on this, you know, desire to do things better. And our obsession with asking what does not stop at our New Year's resolutions. We apply it to our kids. We apply it to our family. We apply it to every other aspect of our life. Like, what school teachers will our kids get? What will their grades be like? What will their friends be like? What will their experience be like in their new school year? We ask it of work, what will happen in our job situation? What colleagues? What issues? What income? What stress? What pressure? Do we ask these sort of questions? Yeah, we sure do. What about what will happen in the world? That's a big one. We ask, what will happen with the borders? What will happen with the boosters? What will happen with the government? All that sort of thing. What will become of us? What we ask these sorts of questions. And if we're not careful, our what's can turn into what ifs. And 9 times out of 10, when we ask the question, what if, I tell you, it's not positive. You know what I'm saying? It's not positive. Our what ifs tend to take us to the worst case scenario. Our what ifs tend to take us to a bleak projection of the future. Do you have someone in your world who is a chronic catastrophizer? You're like, you give them an issue and they turn it into a catastrophe. They have like a bump on their arm. Like, what is this? What is this? What if it's a melanoma? I think it's a melanoma. What if I die? Oh my gosh, I'm going to die. I'm too young to die. Does anyone know anyone like that? There's some nervous laughter. I think there's some people who maybe you are that person. Like, but you're like, dude, it's nothing. It's a mozzie bite. You know, get over it. You know, that sort of thing. I've got one of those in my household. But I'm not going to name names. The truth is, we're all a little bit guilty from time to time of the slippery slope of what if? What if I don't cope? What if I'm not enough? What if I fail? What if I make a wrong decision, etc., and so on. And the result of all our asking what and all of our asking what if we remove that line of questioning from God, the inevitable result is that we will worry. The inevitable result is that we will feel unsettled. If we're not careful, it will actually rob our peace. It will actually steal our joy. The problem with asking what is that we really don't know what. We don't know what on earth will happen. None of us even know with certainty what will happen tomorrow. Leave alone what will happen next year. I mean, a few days ago, we didn't know we'd all be at church in masks. I mean, we don't know what. We try and obtain this certainty, but there's not much certainty to be had. And we try and grasp control, but our control that we're reaching for is actually elusive. Do you know that most control is actually false control? Most of the control you think you have, you probably don't really have. Things can fall over at any moment. Things can blindside you at any moment. And Jesus understood this when he said in Matthew chapter 6, he says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" What's the answer? No. That's the answer. No, you can't. All that focus on what if this and what about that, Jesus is saying it's actually fruitless. It actually accomplishes nothing in your life. It doesn't have the power to change anything. Anytime worrying is time wasted. Anytime worrying is time wasted. But I have got good news. Everyone say hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got good news. There is a far more life-giving question to be asking of your new year. It's greater than the question what. Why don't we start asking who? We need to, in our new year, instead of focusing on what will happen, why don't we give our full attention to who will go with us? Who will go with us? See, Jesus shows us that the antidote to worrying about what is knowing who. Knowing who. He says in that same text, Matthew chapter 6, we'll read from verse 26. He says, "Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow. They don't reap. They don't store away in barns. And yet, oh, here, enter the who. Enter your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" Drop down to 31. "So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them." As you proceed into your new year, your soul needs to be confident, not in what will happen, but in who goes with you, who is going with you, because you have a loving Heavenly Father that promises to take care of every one of your needs, even in 2022, even in uncertainty, even in things unprecedented. He's able to care for you. He's able to care for your family. The scripture we just read says he cares for the birds of the air and the flowers of the fields. And Jesus asks this rhetorical question, "Are you not much more valuable than they?" And the answer to that rhetorical question for anyone that might be confused is yes. Yes, Jesus wants you to see that yes, you are much, much, much more valuable. But sometimes, even as disciples, we doubt. Or even as disciples, we forget. We act as though we have no Father. Or we live our lives as if it's all on us. And we end up looking no different to the people that don't know God. And this is a problem. Jesus actually invites us to seek him first. Stop worrying about what will happen and start looking to who goes with you. He's your Father. He loves you. He's going to protect, provide, and guide you. You can never be certain about what, but you can actually enter into a certainty about who. Amen? There's an invitation, I believe, for each and every one of us to go deeper into the knowledge of our God. To go deeper into the knowledge of God, because as our revelation increases, our anxiety decreases. As the revelation goes up, the worry, the anxiety, the nervousness, the trepidation actually goes down as we see Him for who He truly is. Our hearts come to rest. Our minds come to rest. Psalm 46 speaks about the nature of our God. It speaks about His capacity and His might above all calamity, that He's greater than natural disasters, that He's greater than the nations and the kingdoms of the earth. Psalm 46 is just one big kind of exposition about who He is, and we're going to read a little bit of it here now. It says, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength. He is a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed, even though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Drop down to verse 6. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. Who knows? The nations are raging right now. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. But He uttered His voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us and the God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Excuse me. Selah. I love this invitation to Selah. Selah is a Hebrew word. It's not a Malaysian word for any of you who are wondering. Selah. Come Selah. Why are you so like that? Sorry if that was offensive to anybody. I'm married to a Malaysian man. Selah occurs 71 times in the book of Psalms. It occurs 3 times in this psalm, in Psalm 46. It means to pause and reflect on what you've just read, on what you've just heard. To Selah on the word of God is wonderful advice. But how often do we take it? We probably do a lot of Selah-ing, if that's not, you know what I mean. A lot of pausing, a lot of reflecting, but I think sometimes we do it on the wrong things. Yeah. We're not doing it on the word. Maybe we're pausing and reflecting on how many new COVID cases in Western Australia this morning. Maybe we're pausing and reflecting on the latest news headline and the latest thing that one of our leaders said and da-di-da-di-da. But Psalm 46 invites us to pause and reflect on these names of God. It says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Like, pause and reflect on that. I don't know about you, but I'm guilty of sometimes skimming the word, of not allowing it to go deep in me, of not like actually pausing and reflecting. And because I don't allow it to go deep, it doesn't get in me. I might get informed, but I don't get transformed. You know what I'm saying? Like, I might tick a box, but it doesn't do anything in going to work and shifting the troubling, worrying parts of my heart and my thoughts and my lives. We have to go deeper. We have to go deeper, church. Recently, I actually did Selah on this very scripture, on these names of God. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The Bible uses so many different names for God. Not because it's a confused book, but because every single name of God illustrates and illuminates to us just a different aspect of who He is, of His nature and His character. God is so infinite and so amazing. We can't just explain Him with one name and with just a few words. Hence, we have all these names of God. Each one shows us, each one tells us just a little bit more insight into who He is, into the beautiful character and nature of our God. So when Psalm 46 says the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge, we understand it's not talking about two different gods. It's one God, just different attributes. Amen. One God. And it says the Lord of hosts is with us. This name, Jehovah Sabaoth, it encompasses the fact that our God rules the armies of angels and men. Our God rules the host of heaven and earth, the entire universe. All of creation is under his command. He is the Lord of hosts, and he is with us. Happy New Year. Like, seriously, he is the Lord of hosts, and he is with us. In Psalm 46, it goes on to say, the God of Jacob is our refuge. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And as I studied this name, it actually blew me away with what it's trying to convey to us, the reader, if we would indeed pause and reflect, if we would indeed Selah. See, because we know that Jacob was a deeply flawed character. Like, couldn't you have picked a better name, God? Why would you call yourself the God of Jacob? Why not the God of Moses? Why not the God of Abraham? Because these other guys had many more attributes that we could commend them for. We know that Abraham was the father of our faith, and Moses, he was a friend of God, and so on and so forth. But that's not the name God chose for himself. He chose this name, the God of Jacob. The God of Jacob, I mean, the word Jacob means deceiver. And he was a deceiver by name and a deceiver by nature. He cheated his brother. He lied to his father. He lived most of his life on the run. He scammed and schemed and he plotted for most of his days. He was chronically faithless, and yet God was pleased to be associated with him. God was pleased to be associated. He said of himself, I am the God of Jacob. I'm the God of Jacob. It's kind of like saying, I'm the God of the unimpressive. I'm the God of the one with multiple stuff-ups. I'm the God of the one that failed and faltered and falled. This name, the Lord of hosts, is with us. It tells us that our God is infinite. But this name, the God of Jacob, it tells us that he's close, that he's personal, that he's so committed, that he's so invested. You know, if the name, the Lord of hosts, seems a little bit too distant, a little bit too hard to reach, the name, the God of Jacob, he is with you. He's right there with you, close with you. The God of Jacob is the one who sees you in the wilderness. The God of Jacob is the one who knows where you lay your head and will come and whisper to you in the watches of the night, and he will remind you of the promise even when you forgot it. Even when you forgot it. You know, so often that we feel like the presence of God or the intervention of God on our behalf is so contingent on our behavior, is so contingent on our performance, that if we are God, then God will be with, are good rather, then God will be with us. If we get it right, then God will be on our side. But the God of Jacob says otherwise. The God of Jacob is endlessly gracious. The God of Jacob is faithful to his covenant promise. It's his faithfulness, even in the midst of our faithlessness. God is close. God is close, even when we don't deserve it. He will be faithful with you and patient till the last day you live. The last day you live. The last day you live. In 2022, the Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come on, Selah. Pause and reflect on that. He will never not be powerful in your life. Hit whatever situation you face in your new year, he is able. Whatever's going on in the world, it makes no difference to him, because he's the Lord of hosts. He's the Lord of hosts, and his arms will never not be open to you. Even if you fail, even if you're unimpressed with yourself, even if your performance is a bit lackluster, his arms will never not be open to you, because the God of Jacob is your refuge, is your refuge. And knowing this, not just intellectually, but knowing this in our heart of hearts, should fill us with confidence, should fill us with the capacity to go boldly into our new year. Psalm 46 closes. Excuse me, COVID negative. Preach myself hoarse. Psalm 46 closes with this verse, verse 10. You've probably all heard it before. It says, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." I believe it's a clarion call to disciples in this hour. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. It's not talking about a ceasing of activity, you understand? It's not talking about coming to a standstill. It's not saying, be still out there. It's saying, be still in here. And be still in here, in your heart and in your mind. Let every accusation be rejected. Do I have faith in the room? Let every accusation be rejected. Let every troubling, worrying thought be silenced in Jesus' name. Let them all cease. Let every argument cease. Let every argument that would rise in opposition to the knowledge of the Lord, let them be ceased. Let take every thought captive. Be still and know that I am God, that He is God. Let the knowledge of God calm you down. Let the knowledge of God bring a peace to every single bit of restlessness in your spirit, in your heart, in your soul. And if you feel this year that your knowledge of Him has been shallow, why don't you make it a new year prayer? God, I want to know you more. God, would you increase my revelation so that I can decrease in all these anxieties and all these worries inside of me? God, I want to go deeper. Make that your New Year's resolution. It should be a New Year's resolution for each and every one of us. Because if you're sitting here going, I feel like my knowledge of Him is adequate, then I would say we probably need to repent. Because the Apostle Paul says, oh, the depths of the wisdom and the riches and the knowledge of God is unsearchable. We could spend a lifetime trying to know Him and still not scratch the surface. He's an infinite God. He's an infinite God. If you feel like, oh, I know Him, I'm good, repent. You know, I'm in that boat. Repent. I need to repent. I want to know Him more. I want to know Him deeper. I want to see another facet. I want to see love more and more and more. Because the thing is, we don't actually know what's coming in 2022. And the world is looking pretty crazy. We don't know what might come along that's unprecedented. Hello? It's the word of this decade, unprecedented. We don't know what might come along and blindside us. And I don't think that a shallow relationship with the Lord is going to be enough to sustain us. I don't think that knowing Him at a surface level will cut it if something gets tough, in times get tough. The book of Daniel says this, those that know their God will be strong and do great exploits. Those that know their God will be strong and do great exploits. It's those who know Him that will stand. It's those who know Him that will be confident. It's those who know Him that will be secure. The psalmist speaks and he says, with a confident knowledge of God, he says this, he says, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, whom shall I be afraid? Though an army besiege me, though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. Even then will I be confident. And you can only say that sort of thing if you know Him, if you really know who He is. And I pray, my prayer for us in 2022 is that we would be a church and a people who go boldly into our new year, who go confidently into our new year, not because we know what's going to happen, but because we know who's going with us, who will go with us. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob will be our refuge. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.